Good afternoon, St. Louis. DJS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. We all need a Friday, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, do we need a Friday.
And a Saturday and a Sunday.
No kidding. So Amy and I just shared a moment together.
Oh, yeah?
You knew it would come up. Oh, so she, I don't know if you've noticed this, but she startles pretty easily.
Yeah.
And I came around the corner, and I'm everywhere I walk like someone's chasing me. So I was probably moving pretty quick. I had a good 20 feet, you know, before we'd actually hit each other. And she did two things simultaneously, which just are really making me laugh. First of all, she did like the kitty cat slash T-Rex. Like, she held up her hands like claws,
yeah.
And she did the best Bigfoot whoop I've ever heard. And so it's like this, sort of walking up, like, hey, Amy, she goes, and then she goes, whoop! And I'm just like, okay.
She is so skittish.
We didn't have 20 feet between
you're
us.
Like a, I don't know, it felt like we had some space.
You're like a small animal.
I am a little skittish. Pick
any kind of small animal that's afraid of everything.
A
you're
squirrel.
It.
Because one person said, you're any animal in the world. What would you be? I'm like, a squirrel. And then the next person said, a lion. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
You are not a lion.
Amy's like, squirrel, chipmunk.
Yeah. One of those.
One of the ones that scramble.
Anything you can't get close to.
Well, I was having
that's what she is.
Coffee the other morning. And I'm like, oh, I have this, like, I got bitten by something, like, on my ankles. I'm like, I'm just worried. Should I be worried? I feel stressed out. And my friend goes, what in this life doesn't stress you out?
Wow.
That, because, like, what if I fleas or something?
Your friend, man.
Yeah, you're kind of like when a bird gets stuck in your house.
It's like flying into the window, like, well, I can't get out of here.
Kind of like a bat.
Why is the sky hard? I don't get it.
Everyone's like, it's okay. It's okay.
We'll get you out.
We're trying to get you out
of
the window.
Look, the door's open now.
And then she takes everything so personally, too, like when
squirrels.
Well, this is a good one. When Michael Kelly today, she's dressed in a nice outfit, and Michael Kelly says, did you make that?
He goes, did you make that?
Should I take that as an insult?
A compliment. Oh, nice pants, Dave. Did you make them?
Did you make them?
Yes, I made my blue jeans.
That's good.
I was like, I didn't make it.
He's a charmer.
what an awesome thing to say to her.
He sees a pretty lady, and the compliments just start coming out.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I mean, he always, his own defense of himself is that he grew up with nothing but sisters, so he's just, says
Wait,
what he
hey,
says.
Did you have a couple extra bolts of gingham on you or something?
Nice pants. Did you make them?
We had a girl who used to work with us, and she would just say the dumbest things. And one of her classics was, we were getting lunch, a big group of us, and the girl was wearing the server was wearing like a black dress. And she goes, I have that, but it's purple and it's pants.
And then you don't have that.
Right.
Not even close.
Yeah.
I have cloth too.
What? So what part did she think was similar?
Look, she was like Yogi Berra. She would just like speak in these things. So that one stood out to me, didn't. Yeah.
And nobody asked her? Like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, but the explanation
it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Wasn't satisfying.
Didn't help much.
That's so good.
Okay, let's get the Trump stuff out of the way. Because I don't plan on talking about it much today at all. But I did have a thought that I think is true, and I want to bounce it off you guys. So if you put aside the Trump personal stuff, to me, the real problem is that what is happening right now is that two of the pillars of American society, the judicial system and the election system, are being undermined. Now, there are two possibilities. You know me. I'm Mr. Two Things Can Be True at Once. I'm Mr. Common Ground, Mr. Right in the Middle. But on this one, I think one of two things is necessarily true just from a logical, mathematical standpoint. There's a monster in the woods, and its name is either Trump or Biden. Because if Donald Trump is intentionally or passively allowing these two pillars of American society to be undermined because he has a fragile ego and he can't lose, and he gets off on the attention that he gets and gaslighting an entire country and the world, then he is a monster. He's not a great American. He's not a patriot. He's not a hero. He's a monster. And likewise, if he's right and I'm wrong and the elections were rigged and stolen and all of these cases brought against him and all these cases that he's lost, the 60 cases after the election, the E. Jean Carroll trial twice, $100 million, the $500 million in New York, the business case, and now 34 felony convictions. If he's right, and all of these things have been orchestrated from the 2020 election all the way through today by the Biden administration, then Joe Biden is also is a monster. But there's a monster somewhere. This is not innocent. Either he's faking this and he's hurting the country terribly and he should be ashamed and his name should have a black asterisk next to it for all of eternity, or Joe Biden should. Now, as a reasonable, logical person, I look at it. I've been paying attention to this. I don't know everything. I don't go home and research this stuff. But just being a fairly straightforward, reasonable, rational person who believes in Occam's razor, which is whatever is the most reasonable conclusion, is the one you should draw. I think it's Donald Trump. But if it's not, damn it, I want to know, because Joe Biden should be in jail. You feel me? I feel pretty certain that the monster is Trump, but my mind still has an opening that half of my fellow Americans are either being fooled and gaslit, or I am.
Well, I will say this too. The monster in the woods, it's either Donald Trump or Joe Biden, but it's not Joe Biden. It would be every Secretary of State and half of the Republicans and all of the Democrats and all of the district attorneys. It would be it would be like 50% of the country.
It would be the most impressive thing ever done in
conspiracy ever.
Beyond belief.
When you said you were setting the whole thing up, and before you said Occam's razor, that was what I was thinking about. What is the most likely explanation? Is it the simplest? Is it the one where the guy who, before he was elected the first time, weeks before he was elected, started with the, this is rigged against me, and if I don't win, it's because this whole thing is rigged against me, and then he ended up winning. Is it that guy who was claiming a rigged election before the election even happened? Or is it all of these things in succession since then? A crooked current president and a crooked DOJ and a crooked New York district attorney and a crooked, FBI. Is it all of these things, or is it the guy who said it was going to be rigged before he was elected the first time?
Yeah, it's rigged if I lose, and it's honest if I win.
Like, Biden is indeed the monster in the woods, he is this. Forget about Einstein. Forget about Marie Curie. Forget about every genius you've ever heard of, because he is the most stealthy, evil, villainous genius we've ever had on this planet.
And how can that possibly be true?
Because he's not even that bright.
That's what everybody keeps saying.
How can both things be true, right? How can he be incompetent?
He's either incompetent, sleepy, doesn't know what's going on, or he's the most sophisticated villain in history. Which is it? It can't be both.
Yeah, this is where I think too many people like stories and don't like evidence. How many people that worked for Donald Trump in the White House and worked to get him reelected, okay, so people that wanted him to be president, say out loud, he knows January 6th wasn't, that 2020 wasn't stolen. How many of them?
All
of them. Mm-hmm. Lawyers, staffers in the White House, chiefs of staff, the generals that worked for him as part of the cabinet, like, they've all said that. So are they all in on it?
And how many of them have been found guilty in court over various things since?
I think this is pretty easy. If there's evidence of what we're talking about, you know, with rigged elections and all
bring
these,
it.
Bring it and
bring
throw
it.
Them in jail, but
yes.
Bring evidence. Stop just telling me stories. Anyone can tell a story. Can you verify that story is true?
Here's a thing that is, and we touched on it a little bit today, and I know we've talked about it before, but the idea that you have really intelligent people like Tim Scott, he is not stupid. He's a smart person. and Ted Cruz and J.D. Vance and all these other people who are not just entertaining the idea that all of this stuff was rigged and refuse to admit what happened in the last election, but they're pretending like they don't know that it was fine. They're pretending like they don't know what really happened. And that to me is really bothersome because Tim Scott knows better. These guys know better.
Donald Trump, you could take 100 Donald Trumps and 100 Joe Bidens, and they don't add up to 1% worth it, neither one of them,
no,
to undermine the pillars of our society.
And no question. Neither one of them.
And that's the thing, though. You may disagree with Joe Biden's policies, but Trump lost the House. Trump lost the Senate. Joe Biden's a Democrat. And they may, the executive branch is bloated. And every administration, George Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, they've pushed the limits on the executive branch. But it's all within the executive branch. And what they haven't done is undermined the trust into, you could say, the two biggest cornerstones of our country, which would be fair elections and our Justice Department. And Donald Trump doesn't care. He'll watch everything burn. He'll take an axe and a jackhammer and a blowtorch to everything that holds our country up as a democracy, so long as he can keep his brand, his name in the spotlight. Joe Biden's not doing that. If you don't like his policies, well, then sorry. Too bad you elected a former president who lost the House and the Senate and the White House. Joe Biden's doing what Democrats do. He's enacting progressive policies. He also, you say, he's pushing the boundaries in the executive branch. Yeah, so did Obama. So did George Bush. Clinton. Yeah.
That's been going on for 30 years. That started that started with Clinton, right?
Yeah.
Where the executive order started trumping going through the regular legislative process because the legislative process became so political, nothing got done.
They called it pen and phone with
right.
Obama.
So that, yes. And it started, it might have started before Clinton, but in my memory as an adult, I don't remember much before that because I was not an adult before that. But it started in the Clinton years and then it continued with W and it continued with Obama and it continued with Trump and it's continuing with Biden. That's something we should all be pissed off about. We should all be upset that because the problem with doing it that way is even if you agree with the policy that your president, the one you voted for, wants to just write into reality, the next president can just erase it. It's not like making laws in Congress where Congress has to go through this process of voting for it, mm-hmm. getting in it, and then to change it, you got to go through that all again. It's not just about the next guy coming in or the next woman coming in and saying, I don't like that presidential order. I'm erasing that one and replacing it with a new one. But we've been pushing that. I think that was what bothers me. And if anything worries me more, it's none of the candidates. It's this idea that Amy was hitting on that the two backstops are elections and the courts. And if we are now saying that neither of those are legitimate, well, then you can say that now. If you're a Trump supporter now and saying that, are you going to believe that if Trump wins? And are we now saying that, you know, when the next president, because look, you guys, we all know this, right? Over the next 10 years, three elections, one of them is going to be a Republican, one of them is going to be a Democrat. Like, they're going to go back and forth because that's what we do. We've been doing that forever. So what you're arguing for your person is going to also be true for the person that's coming in. So if you say, well, we want Trump to come in and clean it all up and get rid of it all, well, then that means the next person who's a Democrat will then be able to do that, too, because you've undermined the balances that check against that.
Yeah, well said. That's the only point I really wanted to make today is there is a monster out there and every single person, doesn't matter what Dave Glover thinks, it doesn't matter what Lindsey Graham thinks, you have to make up your own mind who the monster is because there is one. And if it's Joe Biden, show me, because he needs to be in jail for the rest of his life. But I'm not seeing it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to vote for the guy, because I do not in any way, shape or form look forward to another 4 years of Joe Biden for lots of reasons. Like Amy said, Joe Biden's doing what Democrats do. He's enacting progressive policies and probably more progressive than most people, including myself, would be comfortable with or be a fan of. But I think that he's a normal mm-hmm. politician. But what's going on the other side to me is not normal. But, and here's the thing, there are things in this life that you refuse to believe that end up being true. Is it possible that all of this is one of them? That everything Donald Trump is saying is pretty close to the truth? And I'm just wrong and I have just been fooled? Yes, it's possible. Is it probable? I don't think so.
If what he's saying is true, there will never be another conservative president.
Flesh right? that out.
Well, if he's saying that everything's rigged for a certain outcome, well, then none of it matters ever. If he's saying everything...
Because the other side has complete control and will
right.
never allow
if
it again.
There are people that have that much control...
Right, I see what you're saying.
It isn't going to change.
If they've already pulled all of this off, they're going to continue to pull everything off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Quick break, right back. DGS. 125 DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. So, Mandela Effect, talk to me.
Okay, so we talked yesterday on the show. I forget what exactly we were chatting about, but then I brought up those Taco Bell coin things with the water.
Right.
Where you would drop the coin in, and if it hit a certain shelf, you would get a free taco or something. Well, apparently this is blown up online. Completely separate of us.
Because we talked about it, right?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm assuming. It just spread like wildfire after that. But some people are saying, no, these things never had water in them.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. Yeah.
Because the coin would move slowly, and the goal was to move the shelves strategically.
I like that the Mandela effect
drops.
Has just become things we disagree about.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, you know what? My memory is not specific to there being water. I remember the thing there, but I don't have any.
No, this is what Mandela... The Mandela effect is indicative of the problem specifically, I think, with America, which is that...
Oh, boy, here we go.
Hundreds of thousands of people say... It is more likely that we have changed dimensions at some point than that I just misremember something.
No, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
This is where there was a shift.
We're in a new multiverse because Curious George had a tail, damn it.
Right.
Yes,
right.
We are in a new multiverse because that's more likely than just, oh, I thought that had water. I thought that didn't have water in it. It had water in it?
That's
a
phenomenal point.
I never actually even did it.
Pillsbury Doughboy wore pants.
Yeah. It can't be that, you know, somehow I don't remember something clearly from 30 years ago.
It can't be that I made a small mistake in my memory from when I was 7 years old.
Right.
It has to be,
I
we
do
have
remember
shifted
when
into a new universe.
The Kool-Aid man got drawers, which made me realize he was naked that whole time.
Yeah.
Busting through
Kool-Aid
kids.
Man has pants?
Yeah.
I didn't know he had pants.
He wears board shorts now and jorts.
Yeah.
Because he was naked.
What is he covering up?
The handle.
My music is just empirically better than yours. It just is. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go with this.
It's just the best.
What is this?
Donny Iris Aaliyah from about 84.
Donny Osmond.
It's Jimmy Osmond. Maureen and her sisters used to play the Osmonds, and since she was the youngest, she had to play Jimmy.
There was that on KMOX delay at the ballpark. We had the Ricky and mm-hmm. Rooney bobblehead, and... John Rooney kept saying, yep, is that the bobblehead where I look like Donny Osmond?
Yeah, they do. They took care of him.
Yep.
They took care of him. I'm a big drawer stuffer. Like, I'm kind of a little bit of a hoarder. I'll need that at some point.
Yeah, me too.
So I opened up a drawer the other day, and it was stuck. And I'm pulling, and I finally busted open, and it was stuck on one of my Dave Glover bobblehead heads. And there were two of them in there, just like saying yes and no to me.
That's awesome.
And as I always say, no one's ever looked more like their bobblehead than me.
No.
That guy could rob a bank, and I'm going to prison. Like, there he is. A little taller, but that's definitely him.
Can you shake your head up and down a couple times? That's him.
That's it.
Yeah.
he was just rubbing it in by just shaking his head yes the whole time. Yes, I'm robbing you. Let's talk some baseball. Let's do something fun.
All right.
So we went to lunch today, and Wheels was regaling us with all sorts of interesting stuff.
Nerd
Let me
stuff.
Start with, you know how dangerous my phone is, and I read an article on my phone news today saying that this series with the Phillies should be the defining moment for the season. Overblown?
Yes. It's three games out of 162. But it can be interesting. It can be it can help us understand some things. But I mean, what was the deeper point of it? Like, because
basically that they're looking really great.
Yep.
And
now here's a good team.
It's exciting and it's
yep.
fun. But
well, they've already beaten good teams. I mean, they just swept the Orioles, and the Orioles are one of the best teams. It's
yeah.
So to me, yes, it's a test because the Phillies are legitimately good. But if you lose 2 out of 3, that doesn't tell you that you're doomed. And if you win 2 out of 3, it doesn't tell you that you're destined to be the division winner. And I get some people take the approach that these are the teams you have to beat in the postseason to win a championship, which is true. But doing that in early June doesn't mean you can do it in October, or not doing it in June does not mean you won't do it in October. It's yeah. just too it's too long of a season to be that big of a crux in the season. Now, if you were in a spot, let's say 2 weeks ago, or where we were on this last homestand, because this last homestand was a big deal going
you know, like
into
when
it.
When you went away, yeah. you said, if I come back and they're 7-2, we'll talk. If I come back and they're 2-7, it's done.
I mean, it was a big potential turning point. It was 9 games, first of all, but mm-hmm. you were also in a bad spot. The only way it's a massive turning point is if it's what it was, really good or really bad. If it was middling, then it would have just been middling, and it doesn't tell us that much. I mean, I'm fascinated by this series, but the outcome of it doesn't prove anything one way or the other. If they sweep, it doesn't mean they're golden and vice versa.
What's going for us and what's going against us, other than the Phillies are the best team in baseball?
Yeah, I mean, what's going against you is they just have more good hitters. Like, more elite hitters, right? More elite hitters that are at the peak of their game. I mean, Bryce Harper is one of the best of the best. Kyle Schwarber is one of the best power hitters in the game. And keep in mind, Philadelphia has the best record in baseball, and they've been missing a $30 million a year player for the last month. You know, Trey Turner hasn't played in a month, and they're still the best team in baseball. Like, they're deep. They're out. Brandon Marsh has come around and had a big year. Bohm has had a big year. Alex Bohm has had a big year as their third baseman. So they've had a lot of breakout guys. They've got great starting pitching. I mean, the guy that's pitching in game two of this series, Ranger Suarez, is probably considered their fourth starter, and he's 9-1 with a 1.75 ERA.
Mm.
And then you throw in their bullpen, they've got like 5 guys that throw 100.
So we're talking about Jack Flaherty because Wheels is a Detroit Tigers fan, that he's pitching out of his mind, and I'm sure every team feels like every player they release turns into a superstar because we're idiots. But we do have a track record of that, and you were talking about, most every other team has a pitching lab. You have a pitching lab.
Well, I don't personally, but yeah.
You could have just gone with it. And we don't, and that's a problem.
Well, I think you see this, right, Ronj? I mean, like, they're not alone in being a team that sees players leave and they go do better in other places. But there's no reason to not be the team that can fix people up. There's no reason for a major league team to not have a pitching lab or to not have the capabilities that we see Tampa Bay exercise, Cleveland,
because
Detroit. They're not big markets.
It's not as expensive as payroll is.
That's right. And
it is an investment, but it is not as big of an investment as it is to buy a player.
What I told Andrew as we were walking out of the restaurant was, you know, it costs money, but it's not so much. And if you turn around one player, then you don't have to spend $12 million on Lance Lynn. Or, you know, $15 million a year on Steven Matz in free agency, right? You can save quadruple the cost of whatever you're going to spend in one offseason by turning one guy back around and or turning one prospect into something unexpected. I mean, we just talked about this for how many weeks? They did not have a pitcher they were willing to call up from Memphis to fill a starting spot and chose to pitch short and use bullpen games and wear out the bullpen.
That's a front office decision, right?
Well, sure. Yeah. That's not the field staff. They might agree. We don't know. But like, that's the front office deciding that they're not. None of the other people are better options than what
you have.
That
really kind of shows you with your pants down. I mean, do you think that's most teams? Or do you think most teams would be like, no, here's our guy.
It's mixed. I don't think there's a most teams in this case. Some teams would do exactly what the Cardinals did. And other teams would be like, no, we need to call up a starter.
Are you talking about a discrepancy between the front office and the
no, I'm talking about like whether not they would have a go-to.
Okay.
Like not calling someone up to fill a rotation spot rather than having a reliever like Liberatore go pitch, you know, 2 1/3 innings and then have to use 5 different relievers after
that.
They
certainly seem to have fixed Pallante.
Well, he looked great in the spring and then he kind of fell out of it. So hopefully he can maintain it. But that was such a big deal. And you know, when Matt Pauly and I were talking about this the other day, I think, you know, Ron, when you've discussed these things before, like just getting five innings is a big deal because now your bullpen's not screwed for 3 or 4 days. If you only go three innings with your starter because he's not, and this is not a knock on Liberatore. He is built up to be a reliever right now. He is not built up to throw 80, 90 pitches. So by definition, you're going to have to cover five innings minimum, probably six, on a day when Liberatore starts. That affects the day before, the day after, and maybe even the second day after with what it does to the availability of pitchers in your bullpen. And it's interesting how the you put Pallante in there. Now, you don't expect him to be that great. He was amazing. But even if he just gets five, that can affect two other games surrounding that game just by not using guys.
So, well, I need him to be good because when Amy and I threw out first pitch last year, he caught him.
Yeah.
And he signed the baseballs.
So. You need that. You need that value to go up.
Yeah, I just want the value of the ball to go up.
What was I going to say? Nubar injured again.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, it's nothing he's doing like wrong. He's not doing dumb things, but he gets hurt constantly. And it, and the problem is he's been doing really well. Like, he's a good player. He gets on base. He's got some power. He's pretty good defender in the corner outfield spot. But now he's on the injured list again with an oblique. That's probably a month. Mm. I mean, it's very rarely less than that.
Those take a long time. They linger.
Because the only thing you can do is not do anything.
Right.
What's the deal with Edmund?
I don't know. I haven't seen an update in a while.
Yep.
But, I mean, so put it this way. What we know is he has not progressed to the point where he could go on a rehab assignment. Mm. He is not, I don't think he's facing live pitching, even simulated. He might be swinging, but he's not at that point.
That's a hell of an injury.
Yeah, and and what's interesting is nobody expected it to be like this. This wasn't, when they did the surgery, this wasn't, you won't see him until July. It wasn't that. It was, they were hoping he was going to be ready for opening day.
At that point, you have to start looking at the medical side of it.
Can be, but wrist injuries are really tough. Like, they're really difficult to pinpoint. It's kind of like a shoulder for a pitcher. You might think you know, but the shoulder's weird and it can be difficult. And wrists are very difficult for hitters because there's just so many moving parts, little pieces in there, like your ligament. I mean, it's and all of the force, everything you do is gonna be basically forcing the energy down your body through your hands and wrists into the bat.
How about Contreras? How far out?
I haven't seen an estimate, but he was itching the other day, like he's wanting to get back and start doing some things. It's probably still a month, though. It's probably close to the All-Star break.
I'm such a punk. He took a full swing from a major leaguer and broke his arm in half.
Yeah.
And took it like a man.
Yeah.
And the other day he was in the dugout wearing short sleeves. I was like, oh, don't show it. I don't want to see your scar.
I mean, it's for that kind of break, it's 4 to 6 before you can even start activities. You got to let the bone heal.
And also, Giovanni Gallegos on rehab assignment.
He may
today.
Be back soon. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Getting him back, and if you can get him back at something close to what would be considered his normal self from a couple of years ago, that'd be great.
What about Zach? What happened with him?
So he's in the minor leagues working on his delivery because the way it's being framed is his delivery got out of whack and it cost him velocity, and he's not as successful a pitcher without that velocity. So they're working
on
now.
What's his best velocity?
Like, when he's good, he's mid-90s, and when he left here, he was like 91. You know, like, that's where he was sitting with the fastball. And he's more, I mean, everybody's more effective with 4 more miles an hour.
Yeah, right.
So that what they're working on is trying to get him to be able to maintain his velocity so that he could be an option either in the pen or in a rotation spot if one popped up.
152 DGS. So, like to follow my sword every now and then. I consider myself a sophisticated erudite. And last night, I literally got up out of bed because I couldn't not remember. I didn't know what it looked like to be on the moon and have the sun shining because the moon is tidally locked. And so there's the dark side, which never sees the sun. Then there's the sunny side. And I thought, why doesn't it look sunny when the astronauts are there? And then I was like, oh, atmosphere. But I spent 90 minutes just like, why isn't it like a beautiful sunny day? And why doesn't it look like July in St. Louis on the moon? And then I was like, oh, clouds.
Did you end up, okay. So you were just thinking it through and not looking up photos or anything?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Man.
But it was real dumb.
Yeah, well,
but it's also not dark.
It happens. I do stuff
like
that.
It's just there.
It's bright enough they have to have the little sunglass thing on, right? Yeah. I wonder if they don't have the sunglass thing. I mean, like, I know in sci-fi your face melts off, but I wondered like if you just lifted it up like Trump looking at the eclipse, you know, like
you probably burn your retinas.
There you go.
Yeah. That sounded good.
Then you're screwed.
Yeah.
When you're on the moon.
Then you got no retinas.
You got no retinas.
How are you gonna get home?
You can't.
You can't see anything up here.
You can't.
What are you gonna do? Get back into the capsule and, you know, wing it?
Well, push
the right button.
Retinas?
I had a question for you nerds.
Amy.
I've watched all of the Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Haven't read them because I wasn't a voracious reader like I have been this past week. So I'll get to those after I read all my Pattersons. But how are they making a new Lord of the Rings? Is there another Lord of the Rings book that I'm unfamiliar with? Or
okay, so you ready for the nerdy?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone just bring it.
It's the second age, Dave.
So there is a whole universe around before and after The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, and Tolkien wrote a lot of these things in partial stories. This thing called the Silmarillion has got all these different stories of history and background.
That.
So everything is based on that body of work. So some of it's new, like the new Amazon show is not directly a Tolkien piece, but it's based on essentially what you would read
so
in that.
So Peter Jackson's taking something that Tolkien wrote, and
they're taking the universe. They're going to follow what do they call it? The
I don't know what you're Tolkien about.
they're going to keep it canon. They're going to follow the universe, right? It's going to be about something that happened. I can't remember. It's what was it? Andrew, did you see the new the one that Peter Jackson's doing now? I'm trying to remember.
This is tag team nerdery.
This is the worst kind.
I'm trying to remember which part of the story he's going back.
Now.
I'm trying to think of which part of the story they're going back to tell. It is related to the main storyline. Okay. It's just a more detailed look at some aspect of what's already out there.
It's like the second age, whereas Lord of the Rings takes place in the third age.
Right.
So it's like
I feel as dumb as not knowing that the moon didn't have clouds now.
Yeah,
but how long ago is an age? It could be 10 years. It could be
burn
like 10,000.
Burn your retinas.
Who knows?